Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on demand. Send us your opinions now. We won't victimize you unless you really deserve it. Now, back to your host, Rod Peterson.
Welcome back, everybody. Happy Monday morning or afternoon, wherever you may be. Welcome to the Rod Peterson Show across Canada or around the world. Canadian sports fans tuning in. Today we've heard from what? Nevada. We're very big in Nevada, our analytics show.
Number nine.
Stillwater, Oklahoma, we have viewers from today. Hawaii and more. It's episode number 127. We have breaking news today. Breaking news, couple things. BC Lions have a news conference at 12 p.m. We assume that's 12 p.m. Pacific, which would be 2 p.m. where we are. It's believed they will be announcing Rick Campbell as the next head coach of the BC Lions. Rick Dhaliwal of TSN Radio Vancouver reporting that Rick Campbell, the son of Eskimos legend Hugh Campbell, will be the next coach of BC. Rider legend, too. I got you, Don. And also, in the rollout 1 hour ago for Flooring Superstore, I mentioned that I've heard that Charleston Hughes has re-signed with the Saskatchewan Roughriders, and he will avoid free agency. Huge, as he goes after a fifth consecutive year leading the CFL in sacks. I can't even tell you how my heart leapt when I heard Don Hewitt was coming into the program here today on this Monday, because I didn't know. People wonder, how far in advance do you know? Usually, maybe an hour before we go to air, who our guests are going to be. And Donnie's here. Look at that. How are you, Donnie? Is your chest itchy?
Well, as I just said, yeah, it is, actually. I might go on a hunger strike with this Hab winless streak. The worst streak for not winning a game since 1939-40. Whoa,
72 years?
I'm considering a hunger strike to win their next game. Won't eat or drink a thing.
I wouldn't do that. Which reminds, I'm glad you brought that up. Holy smokes. Going to go right down a different road here.
Yeah.
You saw the Winnipeg fan who didn't wear pants until the Bombers won the Grey Cup, which apparently is true. I have a tough time believing that in Winnipeg you could go that long without wearing pants. And then did you see the guy in Cincinnati? He lived on the roof of his house until the Bengals won a game. He'd been up there all summer.
Really? I didn't miss that one.
And fall. And finally, the Bengals won on Sunday, so he could come down. His kids and wife were going up to have lunch with him and supper. He was sleeping up there.
Wow.
Have you seen the movie Fever Pitch?
Yes.
There's a line in there that I've never forgotten. And they said to the guy, Jimmy Fallon, who was the actor, his ex said, "You've spent your whole life loving the team. How many years have they spent loving you?"
Sometimes that doesn't.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, it doesn't.
I'm not,
matter,
but I never forgot that.
I know. Yeah, isn't that true?
I
saw the Winnipeg fan just drank the 30-year-old beer. Did you see that one?
OV.
Yeah, the 30-year-old beer. Can you imagine how bad a 30-year-old beer is? Like fine wine, I get it. You know, better with age. Beer does not get better with age.
No. But from what I remember of OV, you wouldn't know whether it was new or it had been 28 years.
You wouldn't know.
So John Thomas Moore writes from Mesa, Arizona. He says, "Glad we can keep up on Rider news, especially the Hughes signing. Don is an awesome guest, always will be. Riders go after our former great D-line sack champ." So Charleston Hughes, we believe, is re-signed with the Rough Riders. But I'm not yet done with the Habs thing. You scratched the surface on that. You scratched your logo on that.
Right.
They've lost eight in a row.
I'm breaking out in hives at the moment.
Yeah, somebody wrote it and said it's been 72 years since they've had a losing streak this long. And I just, and when I mentioned it last hour, Don, the Facebook wall just went nuts. And in the text line, people want to know what we think's wrong with the Habs. And my problem out here, living in the Bermuda Triangle where we do of the NHL, we're right between Winnipeg, Calgary, and Edmonton. We don't get Montreal games enough.
Well, I got to pay for them, which I do.
There you go.
For some crazy reason.
So you have paid for Habs rights here.
Yeah, I get NHL Live, so I watch all the Hab games
as
a diehard fan. And Don Ryback just sent us a message, "Dear Don Hewitt, the Bruins rule." I'm sad to say that Don is completely and totally correct. And there's only one problem the Montreal Canadiens have, just one. Mark Bergevin, fire his butt.
Okay.
The coaches are fine. Mm-hmm. The players are trying hard. As far as I'm concerned, Jeff Molson has been an absolute disaster as a Montreal Canadiens owner. He makes 80-90 million profit for himself and his partners running the Montreal Canadiens. That's a lot of cash to stick in your wallet for the mediocre product that this city of Montreal, I'm acting like it's here, but it's not.
It's fine.
Has had to deal with, and he just has no idea what's going on. He has no organic players. All his players are from somewhere else and generally rejected. He's only got several players where they drafted, and they're currently playing on the team. He's looking for other players that other teams felt were expendable. They're too small. They can't play defense. And I do not believe for a second it's coaching. And why is Mark Bergevin still there? Well, because Jeff Molson doesn't want to pay him out because he signed him to too long of a contract, because it would interfere with the $80 million that he's putting in his own pocket.
Yeah, they've had coaches. They've had good coaches. Who was the last really great GM? Was it Rajon Ewell before Bergevin? Was he the last one?
The last GM was Savard.
And then
Savard was a disaster.
And then Rajon Ewell. And then
They haven't had a good one since Serge.
Yeah.
Really. They haven't had a good general manager. And, of course, they had the greatest general manager of all time in hockey, in my opinion, and we can certainly argue it, in Sam Pollock. I mean, all Bergevin has to do is take the Sam Pollock model and he'd be fine, but he ignores that Sam Pollock model. And, they're like kids playing against men. Like, Boston didn't even make really any effort in that hockey game last night till the third period. And you just knew it. Well, they're not really trying.
Yeah.
Oh, we better go win the game in the third period. And Carey Price is getting, a lot of criticism. He had no chance at any of those three Boston goals last night because the defense is so bad in front of him. So, I mean, it's just a joke.
Is that why Claude Julien hasn't been fired? Because the GM Bergevin knows it's not Claude's fault?
Well, I mean, who knows what Bergevin's going to try to do? I just cannot see that coaching staff is the problem. I mean, they've got a coach that's won a Stanley Cup reasonably recently, and you just take a look at the players and the player makeup and who they've got on that team, and it's not an NHL team. And they're made to do okay in the regular season. Can you imagine them in a playoff grind or in a playoff series? They'd be carting them off on stretchers, by and large.
Yeah.
I mean, there's just no grit, no size, no nothing.
26 years the Stanley Cup drought in Montreal. Doesn't sound to me like you think they're anywhere close to that ending.
No, I mean, I think it's still further downhill from here for the Montreal Canadiens. They're not going to make the playoffs. There's one good writer at the Montreal Gazette. His name is Brendan Kelly. He gets it. Read Brendan Kelly in the Montreal Gazette. The other guys should all retire.
Out of touch? They're out of touch?
They don't seem to be getting what's going on in the ice at all, but Brendan Kelly does. So whether you like the Montreal Canadiens or dislike them, read Brendan Kelly, because if you dislike them, the Montreal Canadiens, you'll enjoy it anyway.
I love the comments that are coming in here with Don Hewitt in the bunker from Corey Shiplock. Mr. Hewitt, a great broadcaster.
Well, I'm not Corey fooled.
Somebody mentioned, and we're going to get around to the Riders here, Don's favorite team, the guys that wear the green hats. But somebody asked if you would accept Mike Babcock as the next head coach of the Montreal Canadiens. How would you feel about that?
Oh, boy. I would lean to giving him more time to change, because I'm sure he will change and would be a good coach in the NHL again. So I think Mike Babcock will be back in the National Hockey League. But I would give him just a little more time to absorb everything, realize how he has to change, then go from there. So at some point I would, but of course, you know how it is in Montreal. Does Mike Babcock speak French? It's a big issue there, and they can't always hire the best coach because of it.
He's got the ties to McGill in the area, but that's a big question mark, is without speaking French and being bilingual, it's tough to be in that market. So
it is.
Yeah, that's interesting.
One more hockey note before we switch to the CFL. Our daily poll for Capital Auto Mall, University Collision Center. Does hockey culture have a problem? Kind of lays into where the Babcock thing started this whole Me Too movement in hockey. On Twitter, 49% of respondents say no, hockey culture does not have a problem. It's a witch hunt. 34% say yes, it does, fix it. And 17% say they don't know. On Facebook, 45% of respondents say no. Hockey does not have a culture problem. It's pretty much the same as Twitter respondents. And I'll go on board as saying, I don't believe hockey culture has a problem either. Are there some problem people in hockey that I should agree. Be tuned in?
Right.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I'll go along with that. But no, hockey does not. My God. A lot of us owe everything that we have to it.
It's an individual thing, as you said, totally. Yep.
Any other thoughts on that?
Well, I think it's good what has all happened here and what has all come out. It is a positive, and it needed to be done because of certain individuals that weren't behaving correctly and treating people with the respect that anybody would deserve. But I agree with what you said, Rod. I don't think it's a massive, wide problem in hockey culture, but you know, some people had to understand that certain coaches can't coach anymore, and the ones that still are, if they're like that, they have to change.
Well, you often wonder, because you've heard these stories, I said it way back in the rollout, you've heard stories of these coaches that were physically beating players, in some cases emotionally abusing players, and you kind of wonder, why is their GM not doing anything? Why is the owner not doing anything? You know, it was always another team.
Now, Ron Francis, I mean, that's an interesting story. He said he told ownership, and ownership said he didn't tell ownership. Who's telling the truth there down in Carolina? Somebody's not.
Mm-hmm. Somebody's not.
Right.
And Francis is gone. Right? He's in Seattle now.
Right.
Sandra, watching from Saskatoon today, she says, Lions press conference, Rick Campbell expected to be announced as head coach. We talked about that a little near the end of hour one, but it's now a good time to get into it. And before we do on Rick Campbell, the next coach of the Lions, Don, your blog has gone strangely silent.
Yes.
Since, because I read it. I'm a regular reader, the Don Hewitt blog at ctv.ca/Regina. I love it. What happened?
It is in hibernation until the first week of training camp.
Come on!
Yep.
It's a year-round league, didn't you know?
I have to spend more time watching the Canadians play hockey.
Okay.
No,
Fair enough.
It was an in-season thing for me, but I'll be back next season. But unless something huge happened, like Jeremy O'Day or Craig left Coach Craig, then. But really, it's an in-season blog. So I hope everybody comes back next May, middle of next May.
What's the synopsis of the year-end for Canada's team?
I think the synopsis for year-end is close but no cigar. They realize that they have to improve. I liked what they did today when they brought in, you know, a new player personnel guy from Calgary who had been trained, what's his name, Kyle Carson, I believe, who came in for Mike Davis. They obviously are happy, the Rough Riders, the job that Mike Davis did coaching the defensive line. They've now brought in Kyle Carson, who was trained by John Huffnagel, one of the best. And I think that's a great move for Jeremy O'Day. And, you know, at the end of the day, I think they made some errors. They weren't fast enough in that Western final. Winnipeg could cover their receivers with man cover because, you know, the receivers generally weren't fast enough other than Moore. I mean, you just watched the game last night in the NFL. I mean, Houston's got some speed guys at the receiver position faster than the average NFL team. And Bill Belichick likes to man cover. He man covered, and they couldn't quite handle the speed of those Houston receivers, and that goes right back to Saskatchewan. Winnipeg were faster in the secondary than what Saskatchewan could handle with their receiving corps. So they have to make some improvements for sure, and I think they know it. But I think, as we've said before in the show, Rod, I mean, Jeremy O'Day, it's great to have him here as a general manager. It's great to have Coach Craig here as the head coach, and I think we're in good hands. And that was their first year, and now they know that there's some changes that they have to make to try to match what Winnipeg did. I mean, you can certainly say they were the second-best team in the CFL. After losing a close Western final, then Winnipeg blowing out Hamilton, what's frustrating is they would have won the Grey Cup had they got there. But second is still second. It's not winning the Grey Cup. You still have to improve.
What does Ricky Bobby say?
If you ain't first, you're last.
Yeah.
Right? You have to win, and that's the end of story. You have to win.
With a couple minutes left here in this segment, actually, no, we'll break here, but I want to know, Don, you're a very visible guy. You're out there. I want to know what kinds of questions you're getting from the fans of the team. Think about that in the break.
Okay.
And how you answer them. Dave Naylor from TSN coming up, the CFL on TSN Insider, and a whole lot more. Sports update on the other side. It's the Rod Peterson Show, episode 127 on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Our biggest sale of the year has returned. The greatest auto sale is back at Capital GMC. We have over 1,000 new and used vehicles to choose from with savings up to $17,000. And for a limited time, we're offering finance rates as low as 0% on new and used vehicles. Buy or lease a new or used vehicle during the greatest auto sale for your chance to win your payments for a whole year. Run down, walk down, bust down, or fly down. Just get yourself down to Capital's greatest auto sale.
Celebrate the 5th anniversary with friends, family, everyone you know. Plan your next group experience with your Saskatchewan Rush. Group benefits include block seating, ticket discounts, and a dedicated fan experience coordinator. For more, visit saskrush.com/groupnightout.
Bronco Plumbing and Heating has been servicing Regina and surrounding areas since 1978. At Bronco, we service all makes and models of furnaces, air conditioners, water heaters, and water softeners. Bronco also provides full sewer service, plumbing service, and duct cleaning. Call Bronco Plumbing and Heating today at 306-781-2090. Proud sponsor of the Rod Peterson Show.
Cheers to the 16 guys who never back down. And to the smooth, refreshing beer with a real beer taste. Original 16. Underdogs. Since 1989.
If you're looking for radio that's got a great message, well, we've got it. LTD Radio plays the best of the 60s to the 90s, all with amazing stories about people right from your community. You can listen live right now at ltdradio.com, iTunes, Streama, and TuneIn. LTD Radio. Music to build a better day.
Did you know you can catch all the best moments from the show on all our social media platforms? Now back to the studio with Rod.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Rod Peterson Show. Monday morning sports update here for Seat Giant and Wendell Clark's. Cleveland Browns quarterback Baker Mayfield suffered a bruised right hand in his team's 20-13 loss to the Steelers Sunday. Mayfield smacked it against the face mask of Pittsburgh linebacker Bud Dupree just before halftime. Kirk Cousins and the 8-3 Minnesota Vikings look to keep pace with the Green Bay Packers in the NFC North tonight. In Monday Night Football, they take on the Seattle Seahawks. Meanwhile, Russell Wilson and the 9-2 Seahawks have a chance to tie San Fran for the NFC West lead with a win. The Detroit Red Wings will try and avoid a double-digit losing streak when they host the New York Islanders tonight in one of five NHL games. Detroit's lost 9 in a row and sits last in the 31-team league. Canadiens legend Guy Lafleur underwent surgery to remove ganglions and a lobe on his lung. Thursday in Montreal, the team made the announcement yesterday before the Habs lost their 8th game in a row, 3-1 to the Bruins in Boston. There is a real Habs theme.
Smoking's bad.
Here this morning, and yep, not much of it's been good. And that's it. Oh, now I'll get to the dub scores later. SJ and NLL. This sports update for Seat Giant. Stop paying U.S. dollars for sporting events and concerts. We have all major sporting events and concert tickets in Canadian dollars. Enter promo code RPSHOW and get discounts for RP Show fans. Visit seatgiant.ca. And for Wendell Clark's Bar and Grill at the corner of Idlewild and Circle Drive in Saskatoon, see you at Wendell's. And you literally will, because they show this show on a loop 24 hours in Wendell's. Don Hewitt with us from CTV. And Mike Abou-Meshrick joining us here as we get into the football. And the reason I asked you about what the question is you get the most, Don, you follow what I'm doing. I mean, I am all over this province, and it's wonderful, all four corners. And just about everywhere I go, somebody asks, does Chris Jones get credit for the season the Riders had? The 13-5 season, most wins since 1970, first pennant win since 2009. And I've said it before, he should get probably a lot of credit, but he won't. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. But how do you answer? Would you answer that?
Well, I agree it doesn't matter, but he does get some credit for sure. It's a mixed bag. I mean, you got to give him some credit. But, you know, the fact is that Jeremy O'Day found a quarterback. The quarterback that Chris Jones couldn't find. But Chris Jones certainly handed over some good football players to the Rough Riders. So, like you said, it doesn't matter. But let's give Chris Jones some credit. But really, to me, the two guys that deserve most of the credit for first place in the West, is Jeremy O'Day and Craig Dickinson. They're the guys that get most of the credit. And, you know, you were asking me what people say about the Rough Riders. Well, I think the attendance at the Western Final said it all. They sold it out with a little bit of help from some Bomber fans. But they sold out the West Final. I mean, there is goodwill. I think this team didn't feel like it was the fans' team with Chris Jones. It's now back to being the fans' team because I think Jeremy O'Day is a good old Saskatchewan boy despite some roots in the past, and Craig Dickinson just fits in well here, you know, as a guy from Montana, and I think people feel it's their team again, and I don't really buy that they really felt it was their team with Chris Jones somehow. He just seemed to be some guy that was always trying to go somewhere else.
Mike Abumetric, to you, what do you hear from the fans on? Well, listen, you have your own thoughts on what
Don
just
said. Can I just play off what he's saying?
Yeah, sure.
I never really had thought it that way. Earlier in the year, we were saying, you know, we can't put too high expectations on this team because, you know, Chris Jones had went grocery shopping and someone else was preparing the meal.
Yeah.
So we kind of said, well, but now that they've had a lot more success. A lot more success than I had thought, and a lot of us had thought. Now we're going back and say, "Well, can he really be?" Yeah, I think he can. If we were going to pin the bad year we thought we were going to have off him, I think we have to give him some of the credit.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what you're saying. When he was here, it was Chris Jones and the Saskatchewan Roughriders.
Yeah.
And I can comment to just before he got here. And a little bit afterward, and it's always been a community team. He did bring a different individual personality, if we may. Everyone mm-hmm. has a personality, but he brought his individualistic style to it. And so it was Chris Jones. He was a defense coordinator. He was this guy. He was a president. He was the disciples number three, the man in the store. He did everything. But if you want to give one guy, I think it's Cody Fajardo. He's the guy that changed the. He's the guy that made the offense click. Yeah, nothing's really changed with the offense except the tool that you're using. McAdoo was swinging with a sledgehammer. Cody comes in with a nice little hammer with the claw on the end, and that's the one that fits this offense.
Well, it's a fascinating discussion, and that's what they might be talking about on Coffee Row. I'm sure they are as we get together for coffee on this Monday morning. And this has been crossing my mind because you watch Cleveland games, you see Chris Jones patrolling the sidelines, and if I don't see him, people are sending me pictures of Chris Jones from the sidelines. And it's like, because one guy sent me a picture of Jones without his sunglasses on yesterday, and they're like, he has eyes! Right? But this is what I get. And so I sit there and think, I'm like, would the Riders have won a Grey Cup under Chris Jones? My gut tells me yes, they would have. If he was here long enough, we know the law of mathematics, with nine teams, they should, and they were getting better every year. Yet, would they have had Cody Fajardo if Chris Jones had stayed here? Probably not.
We would have had Willie Jefferson instead.
Playing quarterback?
No, we would have had that. There's only so much do, re, mi to go around.
Get my thought on that, though, right?
Yeah. Ifs and buts and can'ts.
Do you think they'd have won a Grey Cup if Chris Jones had stayed?
I think so, but I don't think it would have been in the Saskatchewan way. Whatever that means, if the Saskatchewan way is winning or losing or whatever, I don't know. I think it's more a feeling of how things are, of communal. And that wasn't... It was more dictatorship when Chris Jones was here. But dictators can work. I think the dictatorship at my house works fairly well. It does. I think.
Your mind's going, Don, I can tell. What are you thinking over there?
Well, my dictatorship in my house totally fails. But
in my house, it works well. My wife is a great dictator. Continue.
And it's her birthday today.
Yes,
and
it is.
There's a picture of,
happy birthday.
Happy birthday. Yeah. And there's a picture of Chris Jones
with her
on her Facebook today. I thought that was classic.
Thank you. She didn't. She's like, why would you put a photo of me and Chris Jones on your Facebook on my birthday?
Because
it's funny.
I thought it was you. I'm like, wow, you look short. I'm like, no.
It's Chris Jones. Everybody says we look alike. Well, thank you. Clearly, he's a handsome guy. Don, sorry. Continue.
He must be.
Yeah.
He must be. Well, I mean, I think that from what I've seen, O'Day and Craig Dickinson are very smart. They're very smart dudes about football, and they're smart dudes about this community. They're smart dudes about how to handle the media. For example, Dave Dickinson in Calgary, when he's doing media scrums, he answers questions using first names. In other words, he uses the first name of the reporter asking the question. And Craig has, you know, obviously talked to him about how to handle the media.
He does the same thing.
He's great in scrums. The reporters like him. So right away, you have the media, and the media are just human beings like everybody else, liking you more. So that if there's a tougher time, the media might give you a few more breaks. And
that's I'm sorry to interrupt, and I agree with you, but Abu said last hour that Rick Campbell in BC, who's not a media darling and not a good interview, said that doesn't matter. I'm just being the devil's advocate.
Well, I don't think it's a huge factor, but I think it all counts in small little ways, and you keep getting little small little stairways, yeah, to a better ending, and that's one of those steps to an ending. By the way, I thought Paul LaPlace is the top guy I'd get as a head coach in the CFL, not Rick Campbell. Rick Campbell needs two good coordinators. Paul LaPlace needs one. I think he's the guy that BC should have hired. I don't know where he's going, but go ahead.
Do we got something to talk about now? Or
whatever you want, go ahead.
Whatever I want. There's a soccer game on the week. No, that I want to talk about. No, but Lapo and Richie Hall, I'm going to go both those guys, are defense offensive masterminds. I know now here comes the comments, Richie Hall, blah, 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 blah. Lapo coached the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, the offensive Winnipeg Blue Bombers, to that Grey Cup. Is he a head coach? Because we saw Richie Hull become a head coach in Winnipeg or Edmonton a few years ago, and he was a sometimes it's great to be the best offensive coordinator, the greatest defensive coordinator, because the job characteristics, the job description of a head coach are hardly anything to do with the offensive and defensive coordinators. A head coach is more of a people manager. The coordinators are X's and O's and putting that in place. So I'm not sure. I hope Lapo gets paid more than anybody else because I think his mind is that great. But is he the best head coach? I don't know.
Well, what I would say to that is he would have learned a lot from his first 10 years as a head coach in Winnipeg. He would have seen, okay, here's what I did right. Here's what I did wrong. And like you said, Mike, there are some coaches that just are not made to be head coaches. They just aren't going to be head coach for whatever reason. And you know, you see Craig Dickinson with his people skills and how well he did as a first-year head coach because of it. But I would put my money on Lapo having learned a lot from his being a head coach once before. I'd put my money on him that way. Because I look at Rick Campbell and I just see a guy that maybe he's got some people skills, but his X's and O's, I think, are, you know, once he lost, you know, his offensive coordinator from a year ago, plus he lost his quarterbacks, there's a lot of things that went wrong that weren't his fault, but they were just lost. He brought in Joe Pau-Pau, not a great decision to make at all. I'm just not completely sold on Rick Campbell, weirdly enough, despite the fact that he's won a Grey Cup. But I guess we'll find out. We'll find out in BC what happens. I mean, you can't get Jamie Elizondo back because nobody, the XFL won't let him talk to anybody in the CFL. But we'll see.
You know what there's more than one way to skin a cat. And, you know, the Riders have been trying. They hired Chris Jones, trying to follow the model of John Hupnagel in Calgary and Wally Buono in BC and what Jim Popp did. And obviously it didn't work. I mean, I was so conditioned for so long to just automatically defend everything the Rough Riders did. When people told me that Chris Jones had too much on his plate, general manager, head coach, defensive coordinator, I'm like, oh, no, it's fine. And then you talk to players that came through here, and they're like, no, he wasn't individually coaching us. He was not actively involved in game planning because he was spending too much time as a general manager. Mm-hmm. You kind of sit and realize, oh, wait a minute, those fans were right.
No, you can't have all those titles. Yes.
But he did, I'm just saying I had to defend them. At my own peril.
Bill Belichick does the same thing. I was reminded him of the quote that I just used earlier, is that if I'm going to be doing the cooking, I also want to be doing the shopping. Right?
But which is fine.
And we talked about Coach of the Argos. It was here before.
Chame.
We talked about Chame losing control of the Riders before he left here. He got rid of everyone with all the coaches with any experience, anyone that he could kind of lean on.
Including Craig Dickinson.
Yeah, so head coaches have to be strong enough to surround themselves with people that are more qualified than they are. They have to surround them. And that's the nature of sports. You know, you got to surround, if you want to be good, you got to surround yourself with people that are better than you, that are going to take your job, that are going to, they're going to eat out of your, that, I mean, everything that's in teamwork is against what popular culture would say as someone that you want on your team. We're playing together. I'm trying to beat you out at the same time. That's how we both get better. I kind of went off on a tangent there, but it's very dangerous that for egos to creep into the locker room as well as the coaching staff, because we need each other, not compete with
them. And it's like that with any management of any business, really. Anywhere, anything you do, if you're a manager, you have to. I'm a manager at CTV Regina, and I hire quite a few employees who are smarter than I am. When there's a problem, go to him. I don't know. You know what I mean? That's what you have to do.
Those people make you look good.
Well, and if you shouldn't be the boss, then, well, maybe you'd be a better not boss.
I'm the dumbest guy in the department. And
that's
the
why
boss.
You're the boss.
Who is the name of the guy?
People that know stuff.
Who is the name of the guy you said the Riders hired as their director of player personnel?
I believe it's Kyle Carson, who I think was with the Stamps 4 or 5 years, and good hire. Good hire by Jeremy O'Day. This guy found some good football players, from what I understand, in Calgary. A great move.
Right. Well, the reason I bring that up is ThreeDownNation.com was the first to report that. And I'm sitting here going, so somebody wrote me overnight on my website here, RodPeterson.com. I was like, why don't you have the story on Kyle Carson being hired? And I'm like, okay, well, bub, I'm not the Rider guy anymore. So I'm not following every minute detail of what they're doing. B, they haven't announced it. I'm sitting here on the Riderville website right now. The last thing they got here is McKenna Henry signing a 2-year extension. That was Friday. Yeah. So maybe the team is not in position yet to announce the hiring of Kyle Carson. I don't doubt that that's the case. But I also sit here and wonder, where does Paul Jones fit into the whole thing, the head scout? And what is his title?
Well, he's assistant general manager.
Okay, assistant general manager. So whatever it is. I'm now, as I'm trying to tell people, looking at it differently. I don't have to defend every single thing that the club does. I'm trying to look at it a little more objectively. And at the end of the day, it's did you win or did you not? It's not where did you buy your groceries from and how much of the salt did you put in and how much of the sugar? How did it taste? At the end of the story, I'm not as intricately involved in how the cake's being built now.
Unless you lose, and then they want to know how much salt did you put in, because you're supposed to put more salt in, and how much pepper did you put in, because you didn't put enough, or you put too much pepper in. And let me tell you what, come on, don't tell me it's not about what you put in. Only if you lose, then people want to know what goes
on. Sure, but my point is, I'm not following every detail of how the cake's being cooked, like I did before. That was my job. Not that I don't care how it is, but it doesn't run my life like it did.
Well, you know
that's
what?
All. So when the guy's saying, why don't you have this news on this? That's not what this website's all about.
Right. I get that, what you're saying about yourself, Rod. But to switch topics a little bit, the coach's cap has got to be driving so many people crazy right now. Speaking of the Stampeders, of course, what was it, a week ago or so, they had to let go their longtime receiving coach. Because of this cap, I think the cap's probably needs to be raised a bit, but certainly the team's losing money. The CFL aren't going to agree to that. But there's so much drama behind the scenes, I think, going on with the coaches' cap, with general managers and head coaches that probably isn't talked about enough. All the juggling with these coaches and football operations cap, with the scouting, et cetera, right? I mean, this receivers coach had tenure in Calgary. He was a good receivers coach, as far as I understand, and he just went because of his salary.
I think you only have 11 coaches, there's a number of people that you can have. So you can get paid one person everything, and then 10 people 50 cents. but scouts, what do they want? They want a T-shirt and a hat, and they want to go to games for free, right? That they don't want $80,000. They don't want any money. They just maybe gas money.
You know what?
And you can't, they won't allow that. So coaches aren't, we were talking about head coaches aren't about, you know, what X's and O's. Everyone knows the X's and O's. The good head coaches have Rolodexes that are bigger than the next guys. They know who to talk, GMs anyways, they know who to talk to. And you're now taking those Rolodexes out of there and saying you're only allowed to have 11 cards. You only have to allow
well,
to talk
here's
to
the
11
thing.
People.
Look, we'll pause and come back and talk about that, but I was talking to a coach in the States the other day who said that the greatest running back in America in high school lives not far from him. And he goes, I've seen him live.
Yeah. So
and I'm like, and in my mind, I know, but in my mind, I'm thinking, what's stopping you? And this guy's not coaching right now. He's probably doesn't have to anymore. But he said, I'm thinking, what's stopping you from starting your own scouting service and traveling around and you just providing? Because my dad did that for 2 years. The Stars laid him off. He started his own scouting service and had them pay for his scouting reports. You could do that. So my point is, with the CFL coaching and scouting cap and all this, which is ridiculous, there's ways around it. And you know that the teams and the coaches and the GMs will be trying to find a way around it as we speak.
No, every other team, NFL, gives a guy a hat in that area and a t-shirt and say, now you're Tennessee
Titan
property.
Yes, they do. Have to pay for it. That's, we it can't do it in the CFL anymore.
I know, it's ridiculous. $20, we can't give a guy a hat.
There's guys dying to just get a hat and a business card and no pay. Dying to do it.
Can't do it.
Can't do it.
And now that gives us, now that high school guy, he can go anywhere, but we got our guy going. He's not going to Winnipeg.
What's interesting is, why did this cap come into being? Chris Jones, likely. That's why.
It was a way to control. It was a way to control Chris Jones.
Yeah, he was
spending.
Out of control with all of these guys with
it's
their caps
and Rough Rider rule.
A lot of money on the table.
When we come back, Randy Nichols watching in Las Vegas. He says, hey, Don, any good stories about you, Kevin Gallant, and Dave Ash, the three amigos on Hill Avenue? That and more when we come back. It's the Rod Peterson Show, Monday morning, Facebook Live, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, we're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
Your favorite movies. Your episode after episode after episode season marathon. All in one beautiful little box. With Max TV Stream from Prairie Mobile, your SaskTel authorized dealer, you can experience the best of live TV and movies on demand, in home or on the go. Just $99. Entertainment your way. Anyway, get your Max TV Stream media box today for just $99. Prairie Mobile, your SaskTel authorized dealer. Lives fully connected.
Saskatchewan Snow Beef is the highest quality beef you will find, bred, born, and raised in Saskatchewan. Snow Beef is the result of crossbreeding full-blood Wagyu males with Holstein females. Much like a fine wine, when given the proper care and diet, the Snow Beef genetics develop superior marbling and flavor. The culmination of these efforts is the best beef you can get in Saskatchewan. Saskatchewan Snow Beef is available at Crave Kitchen and Wine Bar on Victoria Avenue in Regina, Little Red's Market Cafe in Mortlock, Saskatchewan, or take some home to your own grill by purchasing it at Local and Fresh, 1377 Hamilton Street in Regina. For more information, follow them on Facebook or Instagram at Sask Snow Beef.
Nestled in the scenic Qu'Appelle Valley, just 20 minutes northwest of Regina, is one of the finest golf courses in all of Saskatchewan, the Deer Valley Golf Club. The clubhouse has a full-service restaurant, and customers can enjoy a casual dining experience with spectacular views of the golf course and valley. A fully stocked golf shop, staffed by PGA of Canada professionals, is equipped to meet all of your golf apparel and equipment needs. Book your tee time, family event, or corporate tournament today at the Deer Valley Golf Club. Call 306-731-1445 or log on to deervalleygolf.ca.
My name is Karen Allen. I was diagnosed with breast cancer in 2007. The treatments themselves were difficult, but the care and attention that I received was phenomenal. But what if, with the advances in technology that have been made, having that better equipment would increase survival rates by 1, maybe 2%? That's people.
Hey, honey, can you get one of the kids to show me how this Twitter thing works? Honey, I need to get on Instagram. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
Did I do that?
Welcome back, everybody. I was getting a photo of these two for my social media and website, and Abu just put his hand up in front of Don's face. That wasn't very nice.
It wasn't an I love you the first time, and then it was like, I might as well just.
Blocking out my face isn't that bad of a thing.
I was trying to block out that toilet seat that he's got on his.
We got plenty of time here in hour two before we say adieu and get on with our day. What should I mention here? Show number 127 of the Rod Peterson Show. We're recognizing number 27. Had Darryl some interesting Sittler. Ones come in. Daryl Sittler, yes, number 27. Ted Daschinski, long before my time, but you might remember him, Donnie.
Well, of course, Ted Daschinski, absolutely.
I think we'll agree on Frank Mahovlich. Can we agree on Frank Mahovlich?
Milan Lucic, while with the Oilers.
Who else wore 27? Paul Williams, the old kick returner. Didn't he wear 27? That was a lot.
Well, Glenn Suter was my big one.
Yeah, I used Glenn to want Suter's to be Dave Semenko when I was growing up. As a Leafs fan in the 80s, I watched a lot of...
You could have been Dave Semenko.
A lot of Oilers
players. You could have been.
Oh, just standing. I couldn't skate, so I was halfway there.
Did you play hockey? You didn't?
I played street hockey like nobody's business.
Just, I'm glad I didn't play against you.
Well, at least you're playing it.
Oh, my ass would have scored at least 50 goals.
Any questions or comments, we welcome them. Prairie Mobile text line 306-840-8777. That is 840-8777. Prairie Mobile Communication sponsors our cell number, our cell communication here. Text. Buy now, pay later at Prairie Mobile. All smartphones are $0 every day using SaskTel Plus pricing. The top story on my website right now is Out of the Tunnel. It's a CFL free agent all-star team. The writer took a different slant than the top 50 free agents. He did an all-star team of the ones that are available. 280 players.
That's crazy.
Free agents in the CFL. Now we're told Charleston Hughes is off the board. That's what we're reporting. I heard Charleston has re-signed, which is great news for the Rough Riders. But guys, we talked about if you're a GM, which coach are you hiring? I'm not sure I got an answer out of you. You're hiring LaPolice, both of you?
No, I just me. Mike hasn't said yet.
I'm going to give LaPo all my money and let him decide
run
if
everything.
He wants to be a head coach or not.
Okay. Players. Who's the number one free agent on your board? Because my writer today, I asked him, I pinned him down. I said, who's the number one free agent on your board?
What team, though, right? Like,
he said Willie
big.
Jefferson is his number one. I see what you're saying. Let's just say you're starting an expansion franchise. Who would be the number one free agent for you?
Well,
be Willie Jefferson.
You've got a quarterback in Calgary, possibly. If you don't have a quarterback, Arbuckle would be pretty valuable, I would think, to the Ottawa Redblacks right now.
Fatty Arbuckle.
Fatty Arbuckle, because he played pretty well for Calgary over that stretch when Bo was gone. So I think it all starts at quarterback. And you've also got it's not really a free agent situation, but you've also got to know that there could be one pretty darn good quarterback available in Hamilton as well. I mean, it's hard to say if both of them are going to stay there next year.
Yeah, Toronto needs a quarterback.
Right.
BC needs two offensive linemen.
Yep.
So you want to talk about who's the biggest? I can't answer that question without knowing what context it is. But I'm with you. If you're starting from scratch, you need a quarterback.
The list is so long. I printed out the list last week, and I'm going.
It's a telephone book.
I should look at that. That's everybody. There's nine teams in the league now.
75. Murph was on here and said 75% of the league are free agents.
Right. Yeah,
which, by the way, can I just say, here are the top five free agents from my writer. Number five, Jeremiah Masoli. Number four, William Stanback. Number three, Shaq Evans. Number two, Reggie Begelton. And number one, Willie Jefferson. That's from my writer.
It's not bad.
But what about the one-year deals? I mean, people are going off about this, both the teams and the fans. But the players love it because they wanted it.
What was wrong with the one-and-one? I mean, they went.
There was nothing.
There was nothing. They went to a 1 year so that guys could go down to the NFL and try out. But when it was a 1 year plus an option, the players had about 2 months in the offseason there to get a job.
The window. Yeah.
If you don't have an NFL team knocking on your door in those 2 months, you're not going to make the team anyways. The NFL team that doesn't really want you. There was nothing wrong with that. This 1 year turnover thing. We were talking in the first segment how the NFL is doing so well because it markets its players. You can cheer for a team. You can buy a Green Bay Packers jersey with a name on the back. You know, in the CFL, guys are here, gone tomorrow. Everybody watching right now is bought in a jersey of the guy that leaves at the end of the day, right after you pick up your jersey. There's thousands of miles.
Well, at least I was in the mall yesterday, and I saw in what formerly was Jersey City, now it's Lids, I saw Fajardo 7 jersey on the wall, and I'm like, finally, somebody that signed long-term that you can buy his jersey and know that he's going to be here. Because they're not cutting this guy. At least they got somebody to market now.
And you can go from last to first and first to last practically in this league. And another issue is the XFL is paying less dollars, but they're an American. And we're going to find out how many players want to stay in the U.S. and be paid American dollars, even though it's a less overall sum as what they've been paid in the CFL. And, you know, I mean, it's obviously this one-year deal and out is obviously what the Players Association wanted for whatever their reasons. They got it. And I'm just interested to see if there's going to be much of an exodus to the XFL with any talent. We don't know yet.
Supply and demand. Well, no, as an economist, we never know, but we can look at these trends and kind of there's only so many places you can work as a football player. There's no arena football anymore.
Right. Yeah,
so that's kind of taking care of that marketplace. I don't think much is going to shift. Yeah, it's new. It's different. To be honest, I don't think this XFL is, I don't think we're going to be talking about the XFL in 2 years. But we'll be talking about someone else is going to come up with an idea to bridge us because, gosh, what are we going to do between February and... We not watch football for 3 months? Can we do that? No. Someone's going to come up with some harebrained idea to plunk something in there. And that's when guys can go and negotiate in their option year or whatever. Robert Gordon, one of the best teammates I ever had. I don't know. He played football for 4 years straight. I don't know.
Flash?
Yeah, I don't know how he did it. He played CFL, XFL, Arena, CFL, Arena, and did it. And then he did Any Given Sunday. So, I mean, I don't even know how it's done.
Just before I let you guys go, for the young American players who are trying to find the best way to get to the NFL, because frankly, that's what they're looking at, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're going to get scouted no matter where you play, whether it's the XFL or the CFL or the Alliance League. Just, I would say, accept any deal. Play where you can. A lot of guys don't come up here because they don't have a passport,
Playing
in the XFL, you don't need one.
Being up here, we assume, I mean, everyone knows that CFL. Oh, I don't like the CFL, but you know what it is. Guys that come up, guys that sign contracts in the CFL, they'll all say, yeah, I knew about the CFL. But that's why I ask them when they come on, when's the first time you heard of the CFL? I bet half of them, probably 30% of them, heard about the CFL when they got here on a plane.
Yeah.
Not when they signed the contract. After they signed the contract, because the contract was, do you want to play football? Yes, I want to play football.
We're going to go to the phone now. Dave Naylor joins us. Throw in your headphones, gentlemen. CFL on TSN Insider. Dave Naylor is with us from Toronto today. For you, good afternoon, Dave. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks very much for having me, guys. Sorry for the technical difficulties. Wasn't able to jump on the video link there.
That's fine. You sound just fine. The information is the same either way. With the news that we hear that Rick Campbell is going to be the next head coach of the BC Lions, Dave, how do you take that, and what does that mean to the Lions and the CFL coaching carousel?
I heard that this one was like extremely likely about, I don't know, 28 days ago, something like that. I mean, there's a lot of sense that you know, Rick Campbell may have known where he was going when he resigned from the Ottawa Redblacks back in after the regular season. Look, I think it's a logical hire. I mean, you look at, you know, Rick had a history with Ed Hervey from Edmonton. He's won a great cup. You know, we'll wait and see if the other shoe's going to drop. A lot of speculation is that Jason Moss might end up there as the offensive coordinator, where Rick Campbell, of course, and him worked together in 2015 when Ottawa went to the Grey Cup and lost to Edmonton. Rick LaLisher, the president of the BC Lions, has links to the Eskimos. And that, you know, again, I don't know if Rick Campbell knew that this was an opportunity that was going to come up the day he resigned from the Ottawa Redblacks, but I know there are a lot of people in the league that think he knew this opportunity was going to come up the day he resigned from the Ottawa Redblacks. So count me as not surprised one bit on this one.
Do you see it as a fit, Dave, and is it a good move for Rick Campbell, considering where he was in Ottawa, what he's moving into? You know, BC is a team that didn't make the playoffs this year, and they got the quarterback with the whopping contract that everybody feels has thrown their salary scale out of whack.
Well, I mean, the fit, I guess you'd have to look at, you know, are you talking about with the general manager? I mean, Ed Hervey's hired a number of coaches now, right? He hired Chris Jones. He hired he hired Jason Moss, and he hired Devon Claybrook. This is the first one of the four coaches that he's hired that had previous head coaching experience. So it's been more of Ed's MO to go with somebody who hadn't been a head coach before. And I think part of the reason he's gone the other direction was the criticism that was directed at the Lions this year for not having enough experience. You know, they went with a first-time head coach and a staff full of guys that, you know, were very, very recently removed from their playing days. So I think it's a common sense hire. I think, you know, all those other guys I mentioned were kind of, you know, different sorts of guys, and Ed Hervey seemed to work with all of them. You know, in terms of, you know, who his staff is going to be, that's going to be the more interesting thing for me, you know, is just because of, you know, the what went on there last year with Claybrook's hiring so many guys that were inexperienced in coaching, as I say, in a few cases, very, very recently removed from their playing days. And I think we're probably going to see a more experienced staff there. But, look, again, he's a guy who's still early in his coaching career. He's 48. He's won a Grey Cup. You know, he'd been in until this year. I mean, it had been a very successful run for him. So I think it's a common sense hire for the Lions.
You and Farhan are just knocking it out of the park, crushing it with the carousel news. I'm just wondering where Campbell to BC leaves the Eskimos and Ottawa, who are looking for head coaches, where Paul Appelese fits in, and the Alouettes GM search. When do you expect to have an announcement on that?
Well, it's interesting because I think Paul Appelese is going to be, you know, I think there's a lot of interest in him in Edmonton. I would not be surprised at all if he ends up there. I think there's interest in him. There's interest in him in Ottawa. I mean, I guess if you got offered both those jobs, you know, you would look at the two rosters and particularly the quarterback situation. That's going to be the hardest thing for somebody in Ottawa to answer the question, right? Is who's your quarterback going to be? Because if you're taking that job and free agency isn't until February, you know, there's a bit of a leap of faith there. Because if you go to a team that doesn't have a quarterback on its roster that, you know, you can project as your starter week number one, you know, there's a risk there. So, you know, by that alone, I think Edmonton is the more appealing job. So if Lapalisse gets offered them both, I would expect that he would go there. I mean, Ottawa's interviewing, you know, a lot of people for this job. But interestingly, you know, some of the guys that they're going to interview are people that are not that experienced. And a guy like Ryan Dinwiddie, right, who has coordinator experience from Montreal, I think, in 2014. But he's been the quarterback coach in Calgary. But there's the sense, you know, if they hire Ryan Dinwiddie, are they doing that to lure Nick Arbuckle? And, you know, again, a lot of times when you want to get a young quarterback who's had some opportunities and given an opportunity to start, you know, there's nothing better than bringing the coach with him with whom he had his success. And I think that's always the fear. If you take a guy out and he doesn't have the same supporting cast or the same coach, you may not get the same performance. So, you know, I think those are all sort of considerations. I mean, interesting, the guy like Mark Killam, the assistant head coach, special teams coordinator in Calgary, you know, getting some attention in Ottawa. Again, it would be a guy who's never been a head coach before. In terms of Montreal and the GM search, this is interesting because, you know, Wally Buono was involved in this, but you look at guys like, you know, the Bombers director of college scouting, Ryan McMahon, which is not a guy that is very well known. Danny McManus, their assistant GM, Jean-Marc Edme, the personnel director in Ottawa, Sean Burke, who's senior personnel director in Hamilton, all those guys are on that list. So, again, looking at a lot of guys, rather than going back to the, you know, maybe a Brendan Tamman who's worked in Saskatchewan or Eric Tillman who's worked, frankly, almost everywhere. You know, they seem to be leaning towards more trying to find the next guy than going back to guys that have done it before.
That's very interesting. Dave, that's a lot of stuff. I appreciate the time. We'll let you get back on the trail, and I appreciate you fitting us in today.
No problem, guys. We'll do it again. See ya. Bye.
Thank you. Dave Naylor, and he go. That's a quick hitter. A lot of info covered there. Listen, we'll come back with overtime and tear this apart right after this. It's the Rod Peterson Show, Facebook Live on this Monday morning, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
He's covering everything that matters to you. It's the Rod Peterson Show. Tune in live Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. to noon, to catch the show live and be a part of the action. Take control by commenting live and sharing the show with your friends.
Our biggest sale of the year has returned. The greatest auto sale is back at Capital Ford Lincoln.
with savings up to $19,000. And for a limited time, finance rates are as low as 0% on new and used vehicles. Plus, most new vehicle purchases come with a free set of winter tires. And buy or lease a new or used vehicle during the Greatest Auto Sale for your chance to win your payments for a whole year. Run down, walk down, bust down, or fly down. Just get yourself down to Capital's Greatest Auto Sale.
Locally owned and family operated, Emerald Water, refreshing the Rod Peterson Show. From reverse osmosis to natural alkaline and distilled water, they are perfect for your home and office. Saskatchewan's number one source for commercial alkaline with natural electrolytes and minerals that are better for your body. Naturally occurring magnesium, calcium, bicarbonate, and potassium are amazing for your health. Trust 30 years of experience and drink water that matters from Emerald Water.
You got something to say? You want to add to the show? What are you waiting for? Don't just sit there. Say something. Now, back to the studio with Rod.
Welcome back, everybody. It's the overtime segment for Emerald Water. The OT refresher for Emerald Water. YQR. Sports on tap tonight. I checked. There's none in the Dub and none in the SJ. Last night, the Pats wrapped up their busy Central Division swing with a 7-1 loss in Edmonton. Red Deer beat Calgary 3-2, and there was just one SJ game, Weyburn beating Melville 2-1. Don't forget the Saskatchewan Rush. They opened with a 9-8 win over the Colorado Mammoth Friday at the Pepsi Center. The home opener Saturday, December 14th, against the New England Black Wolves at SaskTel Center. I just wanted to wrap with Don Hewitt and Mike Abou-Meshrick on Dave Naylor's comments there. I guess the news of the day is that the BC Lions are hiring Rick Campbell as their next head coach. And Dave insinuating tampering there. I'm just going to say it. I like David. I guess he can say it. Nobody else can. We can't. But he said this deal's been done for 28 days, and there are people that believe that Rick Campbell knew he was going to BC before he quit in Ottawa. Do we even care? Like, I don't have a problem with that, but it's apparently not allowed.
I've never understood that tampering paperwork. It's so I can talk to you because you're my friend, but I can't talk to you because we have a professional relationship. But if I talk to you as my friend, then it's okay. But if I'm wearing a suit, I'm not the person that I'm when I'm wearing shorts. Like, they don't get it. Yeah.
So it's uncontrollable is what you're saying.
How is it really any different than Chris Jones resigning in Edmonton and coming to Saskatchewan, which, by the way, the Riders weren't disciplined for that either, but the tampering rule came in right after that.
Hang on.
How's this different? Other than his whole staff came here versus his, the whole red-black staff going to BC.
Don't make it obvious. Like, I got it signed his free agent contract at 12:00 and 30 seconds that one year. Really? In 30 seconds you came to the whole
agreement? But they fined Ed Hervey for that. I'm like, do we have rules?
Don't be stupid. Don't be stupid. We're friends. We're talking. Hey, I want to play with you. It happens in basketball, right? I mean, all the time. I mean, is there a way around it? No, because you can't stop people from talking to their friends. But I feel like I'm just talking
stupidity right now. It's weird to you because you're actually finally making sense.
It makes sense.
No, but here's some other conspiracy theorists of me. Okay, shh. Jason Moss. Listen, everyone. Jason Moss, he's also fired. Jason Moss had a lot of success. Who was his quarterback?
Trevor Harris.
No. Before that, Riley. Where's Riley?
NBC.
Right. Jason Moss is also a really good offensive mind. Not a great head coach. I'm trying to be quiet here so that nobody hears this obviousness.
You're just talking to friends.
Jason Moss is going to go be the offensive coordinator because he knows Campbell. He knows the system. He knows the quarterback. The pieces are in place. Everything's perfect. Everything sometimes just kind of ends up like that. It's not tampering. Is it tampering? I don't know. Maybe I just tampered the whole league.
You should just stop there.
Because people go and work with their friends.
Don's the expert. Right. He's the guest. What's your take on it? You've been eerily quiet for the last 10 minutes.
I couldn't say any more than what Mike said. I think Mike's correct. Totally correct. And so just be careful with the date of your announcements and let there be a little bit of time, but you can't stop Mike talking to you tonight for probably half an hour as friends, right? The two of you will probably talk tonight for half an hour. So?
Listen, I know I got to know the accounting. I got to know the CRA rules, so I got to know.
You know, but here's the difference. Guys, I mean, we don't have a ton of time here, but it's like with the Miami Heat. When Chris Bosh and D-Wade and LeBron all got together and said, that'd be cool if we all played together. And then they did, and then they won. And that got everybody pissed off.
Because that's
what's that versus all the NFL owners getting together and saying, don't sign Colin Kaepernick? What really is the difference?
Well,
there's collusion.
There's
tampering.
Here's the difference. Did you see Colin Kaepernick with his workout and his little rant afterwards?
Followed very closely.
Who the hell would want to sign him?
That's what I mean.
Like, nobody. Like, get lost, pal. The guy's a complete problem.
I agree with Colin Kaepernick, but that's not what the NFL is. The NFL is you work
corporate.
For us.
Corporate.
Not even the owners. They're franchise owners. It's the NFL, then the owners, then the janitors, then the players. And we talk, but we've been talking about this for 12, 15, as long as I've known you. Players think they're more important than they are. They're workers, just the way as everyone else is.
That's right. Yeah.
And Cullen has it upside down. What he believes but now. Right, we don't have enough time for that.
I know.
But as a business owner... As a business owner, I just want you to buy a ticket to the game. I don't want you to stand up or sit down or anything. Just buy a ticket to the game.
Play the game.
And you're not that good. This guy's just as good as you. So I'm sorry, Colin. And what are we talking about again?
Rick Campbell. Just your... Abu, take a break. Take five. Don... Is there anything wrong with what BC did if they knew 28 days ago that Rick Campbell was going to be the coach and that's why he resigned? Is there anything wrong with that?
I mean, you do have to take into consideration that Campbell was a dead man walking. He was losing all the inner politics to Jardin. Now we're going to see what Desjardins can do, because if you listen to, say, Henry Burris on the air on TSN, he was basically a Campbell supporter, get rid of Desjardins. He basically said it on the air. So we're going to see what happens there. So to answer your question, I'm not too concerned about it. He knew he was out. He talked to a friend, like Mike said, and that's it. I wouldn't worry about it. And with Jason Moss and BC, look out for the Lions. I mean, if he's running the offense and Campbell's a head coach, the Lions will definitely be better, because as Dave Naylor made a great point, he had too much, the previous coach had way too much inexperience in his coaching staff. Like, quite a bit. He just.
So where does Jarius Jackson go? Where do all these guys go that just got hired in those roles in BC? I don't necessarily have a problem with all of what you're talking about, but who's paying for it? Are you paying out years left on contracts?
There's that cap again with payouts.
That's the problem.
And what's going to happen here in Saskatchewan? They also have this cap. What's going to happen? Did you not say a week ago, Rod, that you felt there's going to be a shakeup with the Rough Rider coaching stuff? So, I mean, that's what I'm more concerned about, what's going to happen here.
But all their deals are up, so it's easy here. It's easy. All their deals are up except for Craig Dickinson. He should probably have the pick of the litter with whatever he wants. Anyways, we could go all day. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Thanks, guys.
Thank you to Jackie Mitchell and Dave Naylor, by the way, for chiming in today. Don Hewitt, Mike Abu-Meshrick, and a busy show tomorrow. We'll see you at 10 a.m. Central right here on Facebook Live.
Ooh, nice one.
For more Rod Peterson On Demand, visit rodpeterson.com.